The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Big K Morning Show. I look forward to Wednesdays at this time. We invite Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, in studio. Rich, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Always a lot of good things going on around the region. And as you look outside, it's light a little bit in the morning. And is winter coming? Is that what that low 30s means? I don't know.
Eventually, but we had the driest summer since 2002. When's the last time you heard about brush fires in November in Pittsburgh?
Never.
Right.
Or exactly. a drought conditions, yes.
But that said, we were just talking as you arrived about the big weekend in Pittsburgh and the fact that you've got the backyard brawl in basketball Friday night. Thanks, Jody, for bringing that up. And then you have Pitt-Clemson at noon Saturday at Acrisure. Then Steelers-Ravens. Regular season games, that's about as big as it gets. It's a crush on the region in a good way.
In a very good way. It's a crush on the region, and our hotel operators and our restaurateurs are going to be doing very, very well. Yes, it's not playoff season per se, but it almost feels like that with these two games. You know, Clemson and Pitt in the ACC battling it out for the top positions there. And then, of course, you know, the Steelers and the Ravens go back. And when they finally get together, this is later in the season than we've normally seen them, but hotel rooms. And I will tell you, the airport folks will tell you, Christina and her team, when the Steelers are in town, people fly in from all over the country. The airport fills up, and that means a lot of money's being spent in this region.
Yeah, when you go to the game, they hand out these placards for people who want them to say, this is my first game, or I'm from. And you see people from all over, not the country, all over. I'm from Mexico. I've seen people from Australia. The image and resource that logo brings here is actually extraordinary.
It really is. The reach and, you know, the symbol, and I heard you mention it, the towel, which really has become this iconic symbol, particularly when the Steelers are on the road. And the announcers are always, they don't get confused anymore, but I think the first times they started to see this, why are they cheering for the Steelers scoring a touchdown in Atlanta or Denver or wherever
it might be? It's so aggravating, I'm sure, for the home team. Like in Washington, I was watching like millions of other people, and if you closed your eyes, you couldn't tell by the crowd whether it was a home game or away.
That's exactly right. And Washington is one of those cities where it is so close, and so many Pittsburghers, ex-Pittsburghers, work there, whether on Capitol Hill or in some of the other governmental entities. A lot of young people, that's often their first place they want to go when they get out of school, to go to Washington. But they still carry that Pittsburgh black and gold in their blood.
That said, right around the stadium, around the corner from Rivers Casino, one of our top stories is the project Esplanade by the Pyatt family. Lucas Pyatt got the green light, $600 million investment, bringing more jobs to the future.
They've been working on this for a number of years. When I was county executive, I met with Jack Pyatt and Lucas and the whole team there. I think it got put on pause a little bit during COVID, like a lot of things did, particularly when it came to development. But when you think about the beauty, you know, past the Cardello building, we all kind of driven past it coming down 65. There's a real opportunity there along that riverfront to do some real development all the way out to the old Pitt prison, the old state penitentiary. So I think there's some real opportunities there. The light rail can also probably be extended another stop. It stops now at the casino, the right. Allegheny stop. And then there's talk of like continued investment there. The infrastructure investment is still there. The change in administration's not going to impact that. It's still going to move forward. So there could be some opportunities there that'll really make some major changes to this region.
And I was thinking about that old prison along the river. What is the status of that? Is it a historic preservation issue, or is there something that eventually will be done there?
I think it's more of a cost issue, the cost of remediating and taking that structure down and making that pad ready for development, I think, is expensive. That's over a 100-year-old structure. It obviously has a lot of history, but the location is so perfect. And again, I think a lot of things because of COVID slowed down. We did see office vacancy rates that were impacted significantly. Even residential plans in places like the Golden Triangle were impacted. Other places, not so much. You talked about the North Shore, and we're talking about the hotels. But the development that it continues along those lines has been very positive, obviously anchored by our sports teams. But other developments that have happened over there, the light rail, which extends over there, has been pretty positive. So it's a matter of, you know, smart investment and some of the things we need to do.
All right, we got a lot going on, and you've bringing some talent to the show this morning.
We're bringing a couple talented people, but you know, we talked about this back in September, the robotics exposition that occurs. It's the third one that they're having. It's next Wednesday. This is really something. It's called Robotics Discovery Day. It's free, so we want to make sure everyone knows you can go. There's 125 robotics organizations that will be displaying at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. It's all day next Wednesday, the 20th. Last year, they had over 4,000 people attending. And you want to see some futuristic things, take your kids down there and see some of this. It's really impressive. And they will be giving out, they'll be looking for over 200 jobs. There will be 200 jobs that will be available as well for people that might want to get into that industry.
And we're going to meet the CEO and co-founder of Pearl Street Technologies in that world. And
yes,
also, later on, we're going to talk to from the executive director of Pittsburgh Robotics Next, right?
Jen, yep, exactly.
All right, coming up on the Big K Morning Show, Rich Fitzgerald in the house. Do you know I'm colorblind?
Don't park there anyway. They'll give you the ticket.
I know. They got little cameras, and they just ding you that way. We continue our conversation with Rich Fitzgerald in just a minute. We're going to introduce you to the executive director of Pittsburgh Robotics, and you just mentioned this get-together again here in Pittsburgh. We're the focal point of this technology.
We really are. We're Robotics City. And Jen Epicella, who's the director of the Pittsburgh Robotics Network, and which she'll tell us, I think last time was over 100, maybe 120 firms that are robotics firms here located in the Pittsburgh region. They put on this big exposition. This is the third one they've had in November of every year, Robotics Discovery Day. And all I can say is you need to see it. It's an amazing, amazing thing where robotics are touching every different industry you can imagine, from healthcare to manufacturing to construction. And Jen will be telling us a lot about what you can see here and job opportunities at the convention center.
We have the technology where we can see Jen, and she's joined us via our vMix. You can see her. If you go on to kdkradio.com, we can live stream. Jen, welcome back. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Happy to be here.
Good to see you this morning. You know, Rich gets all fired up for this stuff.
Jen, you know how I've been looking forward to this for a whole year since I went to it last year. And you really have introduced so many innovative things. And then these companies, I know we probably think they're all from Lawrenceville or the Strip District, but I remember seeing, you know, last year these companies from Uniontown and Indiana County and IUP and all these different organizations. Tell us about what we can expect next week at the Robotics Discovery Day.
Absolutely. So Wednesday, November 20th, it is going to be really something special. So if you're curious about robots, if you like robots, if you're not sure if you like robots, you can have all those questions answered for you by just showing up at the convention center. We're going to have over 130 organizations that are going to be exhibiting, and that's going to include robotics companies who are going to have live demos. You can see all kinds of robots. Now, I'm not sure if we're going to see, you know, robots that are going to maybe help the Steelers this year or, you know, maybe, but maybe some pothole filling robots. I don't know. That could be in the future of Pittsburgh as well. But yeah, you're going to see that, Rich, you talked about it. all industries, right? Manufacturing robots, agriculture robots, robots that move things in warehouses, and then even humanoid robots. We've got a humanoid robot here in town. So, and then autonomous vehicles, right? Aurora has a giant autonomous truck. So yeah, you'll be able to see it, touch it, learn about it, experience it. And then there's a career center, a community center, so you can get involved in robotics in some way. So you don't have to work for one of these companies in order to be a part of this sort of robot revolution that's happening here in town. We've got all sorts of training programs and job access. There's a career center. So if you just want to, you know, figure out how to update your resume and jump in and become a part of it, that's an opportunity.
I saw a robot that on a, underneath a pool table that comes up and puts the pool balls ready, you know, clears the table, resets everything. I mean, there'll be robots for everything. But the bigger picture for our region, and I know Rich has been such a champion of this over the years, is to have us become, you know, the destination place for people in this industry. And it certainly feels like that hearing you both talk.
Oh, yeah, we already are. I mean, I travel around the world and the world is watching us. Pittsburgh is on the map for robotics, AI, all this tough tech, hard tech, you know, the inventions that are being created here in Pittsburgh are having a global impact. And so, yeah, November 20th, come and take a peek at what's happening in our own backyard and how you can be a part of it. It's very exciting.
And what you see is, and you talk about all these jobs, people probably think, oh, if I don't have a degree in, you know, software engineering, I can't get that job. No, every industry, as Jen said, people that work in a warehouse learn how to deal and work with the robots to make their job easier. People that work in construction, if you've ever seen them lay down cement with rebar, and the robotics machines that now help tie off that rebar together. There's so many different things that are that all levels of education and skill set and job training that can be there. And the one thing, Jen, excites me, it's all day next Wednesday. Tell everybody how much it costs for somebody to get in.
It is $0, completely free. We want to make sure that everyone has access to, you know, experiencing what it is that is the future. It's happening now, right? But it's going to continue to happen in the future. These are the modern power tools of business, okay? These are not robots taking our jobs. These are robots creating jobs. And these are great technologies that people, humans, get to use on the job to make their job easier, safer, you know, faster, better.
Yeah.
So yeah, come on down. It's completely free. You can walk on in and check it out.
I think that's a great point, is people hear that robots, they're going to take my jobs, but they're creating jobs, especially here, which is pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, it is an exciting day, Jen. And you know, for people to really see things that they can't even imagine and what it is doing. We've seen dancing robots and, you know, robots that do all kind of different. It's just an amazing some of the things, you know, doing surgery, doing, you know, exactly some of the things you talked about.
Yeah. The future is automated, and the level of automation that can occur, right? You get to see that. The demonstrations that are going to be there. They're going to be companies that are, you know, 2 weeks old, so very early stage startups. And then we'll have companies that have been doing this for 20 years right here in Pittsburgh this whole time. And so you really get to see that depth and that breadth of what's been happening here and how it's just going to keep growing.
All right. That's next week, November 20th. When to when?
Wednesday, November 20th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can come in anytime. If you want to come from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., there will be a very special sort of robotics happy hour where you can come in and grab a beer and walk around and check out the robots and talk to a bunch of other people who are also wanting to check it out.
Jen, thank you. Exciting. Appreciate your time this morning.
Jen, we're very excited. Yeah. We'll see you next week and have everything ready for all of us. Congratulations.
Sounds good. Can't wait to see you there.
Thanks.
Jen Epicella, who is the executive director of the Pittsburgh Robotics. This is
the future.
It is.
We're living in the future. And, you know, you think about how Pittsburgh, going back over a century, has always been at the forefront of innovation. Innovation in the steel industry, in the aluminum industry a century or more ago. And here we are again.
Westinghouse. Electric, which spun off electric radio.
Oh,
I mean, we were the first commercial radio station on the planet.
Absolutely. Right.
104 years ago.
Yeah. The polio vaccine and the Ferris wheel and the Big Mac. And we could go on and on.
Lots of firsts. Here's the Big K Morning Show. Rich Fitzgerald, executive director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, with us every Wednesday in our 7 o'clock hour. Just a moment. We're going to check in with the CEO and co-founder of Pearl Street Technologies.
Yes. When I first heard Pearl Street, I thought that's a significant street in Bloomfield. So I thought maybe they were Bloomfield based, but it's really based on the history of electricity back to Thomas Edison. The Pearl Street Station in New York was the big generating station that kind of started electrification in Manhattan.
Did you ever see the movie Current Wars? It was about Thomas Edison and George Westinghouse.
I've seen, not that movie, but I have seen some of the documentaries. You talk about two people that didn't like each other. Oh, my goodness.
Yet their competition kept moving technology forward. And then in the middle of both was Tesla.
Yes.
And he was this visionary. And it's funny, at one point in the movie, you see the wires that finally go up. They were trying to decide which grid power source to use, AC or DC, and they're lighting up America. We can't imagine a city without lights.
No.
Just for starters. And these two men made it happen. And then Tesla said, what if we don't need wires? And they all thought he was nuts. And of course, here we are with Wi-Fi and technology, and so much is floating through the air. If you get a chance, especially being a Pittsburgh guy, Current Wars, it's very well done, and it's all about Westinghouse and Thomas Edison.
And we talk about political battles now between, we just went through one with an election, the political battle between the two of them and the charges and countercharges. Your electricity, don't use his electricity, AC will kill you, or don't use DC, oh, your family will be in danger. I mean, it was a real info war, if you will, a propaganda war over which type of electricity was going to be better.
Yeah, it did get ugly. In the meantime, while we're waiting to check in, let's talk about a couple other things you'd sent me. This Jimmy Stewart, I'm fascinated, Rich, because Jimmy Stewart to me was a true American hero, and it had nothing to do with him being an actor.
Absolutely. He became a great actor. And of course, we're proud of him because he's a Western Pennsylvania, growing up in Indiana, PA. And the movie It's a Wonderful Life, which has become this Christmas time iconic movie. They do a celebration in Indiana, PA. I actually will be going to the parade next week. Just like we do Light Up Night in Pittsburgh, they do Light Up Night in Indiana, PA. And it's a Jimmy Stewart parade. And it is just, they celebrate his life, but they celebrate also the great area of Indiana.
And the reason I say he's a hero in terms of he started his Hollywood career, then he joined the Army Air Corps, which was the precursor to the Air Force. He became a pilot of a bomber and then eventually became the squadron leader, and he flew multiple combat missions, risked his own life. You know, the lifespan of those guys, in many cases, wasn't long. And it was rare that, you know, an individual would make it through a whole combat run. And he did it.
He did it.
Then he went back to acting. And, you know, he kept paying his agent the same percentage from his military pay that he did when he was an actor.
Is that right?
Of course, it was a lot lower. Also, yesterday, we talked to WPXI anchorman David Johnson. You know him very well after 40 years here. And keep in mind, he worked for five stations before PXI. He's going to retire on December 13th.
David's one of those long-lasting Pittsburgh treasures to last 40 years in an industry that is very, very difficult to last more than a few years. David and his wife, Nancy, Kathy, and I have known the Johnsons for many years. Our kids went to school together. Typical Pittsburgh story, how we all kind of, you know, run into each other and know each other. But congratulations to him. And I know, you know, with his sons, and having some grandchildren, that he wanted to spend a little more time with them. And I think those of us of a certain age can certainly appreciate that.
Yeah, so we give a salute and wish him well. And coming up next, we'll track down David Bromberg, CEO, co-founder of Pearl Street Technology. And we are joined now by David Bromberg, CEO, co-founder of Pearl Street Technologies. And you can see David with our video mix live streamed on kdkradio.com with Rich Fitzgerald. David, good morning.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good morning, David. Let me just introduce David a little bit. David is a classic story that's happening in Pittsburgh these days. He moved here from, he grew up in Brooklyn. He came to Pittsburgh to go to Carnegie Mellon years ago. And while there, and through his graduate, undergraduate and graduate degrees, developed this technology. And this might be one of the most important technologies we're going to see over the next decade or more. Because, Larry, we've talked a number of times about the electrification that we're going to need as a society to do AI, autonomous vehicles, all of our appliances that are turning electric. And is the grid going to be able to handle that? We could maybe generate the electricity, and we have the need of the electricity, but how do we distribute it? Will the distribution system handle what we need? David's company develops software to predict just that. I hope I didn't say that wrong, David, if you can kind of correct me on what your company has been doing.
Yeah, no, that was a pretty good summary. The only thing I would really add is just want to acknowledge that I didn't develop it by myself, certainly. Had a lot of collaborative work, both with my PhD advisor, who's a co-founder of Pearl Street as well, Larry Pileggi, and other students and researchers who worked along with us. It definitely takes a village.
And as you know, you came here and stayed here and actually came back here, as I understand. What is it about Pittsburgh that you fell in love with?
I mean, it's just such a great community, particularly in engineering and technology. I guess a large part of that is the universities here, but what we've been seeing more of, especially in our recruiting, is just how many very talented engineers come here for school and then want to stay here and even just move here. I mean, we've relocated people from New York and California who want to be in Pittsburgh and work on really cool companies, really cool products. That make an impact on society. And this is just a great place to do it.
So tell us a little bit about the technology that you're talking about. We've seen, you know, the new type of generation around solar and wind, and obviously we've transitioned from a lot of coal to gas in generating electricity. And then so many of us have gone in our own homes, heat pumps and electric appliances, and now we're seeing electric vehicles that are becoming more prominent. And now obviously with AI and the things, robotics that we're talking about. What does your company do?
Well, we build software to help electric power grid operators, utilities, project development, engineering companies all plan for exactly those challenges facing the grid today, as well as in the future. So things like increased deployment of renewable energy, like solar and wind projects and large batteries, that's actually primarily our commercial focus today. But certainly the growth of power-hungry industries like AI data centers, more onshore manufacturing, electrification of heating and transportation, like you said, even extreme weather, all of these changes will have a very, very substantial and long-term impact on the grid. And our software helps grid operators and utilities plan for that.
And where do you do this work regionally, nationally? Where do you do a lot of the for companies and organizations throughout the U.S.?
Nationally. So to date, something like 300 gigawatts of renewable energy projects have been modeled out through our software across probably around 20 to 25 states. 300 gigawatts is a very big number. Just to put it in context, that's equivalent to about powering 225 million homes. So we're talking about a lot of power. Now, not all of those projects will be built. That's a part of the process. You're trying to study them to understand what impact would they have on the grid if they were built. But that's a very critical piece, that critical analysis that has to be done, and we help expedite that to get to those answers faster.
I get it. You developed the flux capacitor, like in Back to the Future.
Yeah, that reference comes up a lot. Yeah.
That's funny. Well,
a gigawatt. Oh, yeah. It's tough to wrap.
David, we appreciate you being on with us, so we'll love to have you back, and continued success. Thank you.
Keep recruiting good engineers to Pittsburgh, David. We're glad to see that, and the more the merrier.
Yeah, we just hired 5 this past month, so yeah, we'll do.
Outstanding.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Good to see you. Thanks, David.
David Bromberg, CEO and co-founder of Pearl Street Technologies on the Big K Morning Show. Let's go live to our newsroom and check in with Paul Rasmussen.
A huge development on the North Shore has the approval of the city's planning commission, and we'll have a preview coming up at 8 on The Voice of Pittsburgh, News Radio KDKA.
And we want to thank Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. Great to meet these young minds like Mr. Bromberg from Pearl Street Technologies who have chosen Pittsburgh to stay and grow their companies, Rich.
And they're transforming things. He talked about, you know, the energy all across America that they're going to be doing. So much of the work that we are going to be doing to make the world a better place is going to happen right here in Pittsburgh. And obviously, we have a new administration coming in and how we all work in collaboration with that. And I don't know if you saw the story, but 3 of our congressional delegation, Thompson, Kelly, and Reschenthal, are in leadership and are going to have a lot of influence and be able to do things here beneficially for us in southwestern Pennsylvania.
Rich, always enjoy this hour. It flies by. And congratulations to you. You will be honored by the Variety Club. They do amazing work for children and the adaptive bike program that they do. And you're man of the year tonight.
I'm so honored. My friend Tom Baker and before him Charlie LaValle have worked with that organization, people like Governor Corbett and many of us. When you watch those young people and those families get transformed when they get those bikes that you just think, oh, it's a bike. No, it changes their world, and the emotion and the tears that come for parents and grandparents when they see their young one get this adaptive bike, it moves you. It changes you.
Charlie Valley just recently retired.
Charlie retired after many years of great, great service to this community.
Great guy.
And you know, Charlie and again Tom Baker, who I served with in county government, and
look at you. Okay. You got a mantle of Man of the Year awards. Including our hometown hero.
And I'll be with the better half of the Griffin household tonight, as Christine will be the MC of the event. So I don't have to hang out with Marty. I get to hang out with Christine.
Well, enjoy. So. Thanks, Rich.
Thanks.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.